we just continue to celebrate the resurrection. This has been an amazing season. I mean, some of you have heard me say Lent, which is usually my favorite time of the year, and I guess as I get further and further away from it, it's reaffirmed it's my favorite time of the year. It was a really hard Lent, so it wasn't my favorite when I was going through it. Consequences, like going to get an abscess tooth pulled. That's not much fun, but after you get past it, you got a bad abscess tooth pulled. Towards the end of that, on a Friday morning, sitting in the hospital, having got up with Olivia 27 times that night, I had this, been praying for her, and I've only shared this with a few people, and I had this amazing, one of the four great breakthroughs probably in my life. And I keep thinking, it's been, I don't know how long it's been now, 5 weeks, maybe. I keep thinking I'm going to mess it up. You know what I'm saying? But I can't mess it up. I'm trying to mess it up, but it just keeps jumping back up. And so, and I find myself breaking through the breakthrough. It's just been sort of an extraordinary time. So I'm sorting through all of it before I communicate much about it. But this whole coming into the season of resurrection and things that God's been speaking in my life, none of it's original. All of I've ever come up with original thought in my life. That's probably good. Because most original thoughts are not God. One of the things I learned a long time ago, I had a professor at Bible College said, there's nothing new under the sun, S-O-N. And, but in the death of Christ, the old order ended. Like in a 3-day period, like in the death of Christ, the whole order ended. And the second day, Jesus was making an announcement of that. In the shield, east and west shield. And in the resurrection, a whole new order began. The central claim of the New Testament is this, that there has been a birth of a whole new world and a whole new humanity. As we said on Easter, it's not nearly so much, of course, it's true that we're all heading towards heaven, one day, but that in the resurrection, heaven invaded earth. That's why it says that if you're in Christ, you're in the heavenlies in Christ. That's another powerful thing, that we live from that perspective. We live in our own little heaven thing. And heaven invaded earth, the kingdom of heaven invaded earth, and earth is in the process of I don't care what stories you hear. I don't care who's in the political place or who your heroes are or who you're rooting for. Don't believe the bad news. And the bad news is a context, part of the music in the movie. Sometimes the music can be very dramatic, but there is a story going on as the kingdom of heaven is colonizing the earth with the new creation of a new humanity. And it's happening. And the enemy's doing everything he can. He's throwing the kitchen sink at the world. But it doesn't matter. It's happening. It's happening in heaven. It's happening on the earth. And in light of that, this is a scripture that just blew me away today in my time along the Lord. This is from 1 Corinthians 15, this resurrection chapter. And it says, so also it is written, the first man, Adam, he became, or he came into being, a living soul. But the last Adam, speaking of Jesus, he came into being a living and life-giving spirit. That's cool. So, here's the thing you need to hear. And he says the first Adam became a living soul, the last Adam became a living and life-giving spirit. The last Adam, the word last there, is not the word second, but the word last. It doesn't mean the most recent. It means this is the final story. This is God's last say about humanity. The first Adam blew it. Then you have the fall. Then you have the birth of a new humanity, and that new humanity represents the last Adam. Not going to be another one. This is the one. Can't undo it. It's happened. It's sealed. It's going on. It can't be changed. Let me read this. This is a quote from C.J. Chesterton. You may have heard of him. He's Orthodox. I love this about the resurrection. He says, on the third day, the friends of Christ, coming at daybreak to the place, Calvary, found the grave empty and the stone rolled away. In varying ways, they realized the new wonder. But even they hardly realized the world had died that night. And what they were looking at was the first day of a whole new creation, with a new heavens and a new earth, and the beginning of a new humanity. And in some semblance of the gardener that was found, it was God, walking again in the garden, in the cool, but not of the evening of the day, but the dawn of a brand new day. Isn't that awesome? No wonder they were filled with wonder and joy. Now think about this. First Adam was a living soul after the fall. Sure. But the second Adam, the last Adam, Jesus, was placed into, became a life, a living, life-giving spirit. Now understand, you're in Christ, this living and life-giving spirit. As a matter of fact, he's the firstborn from among the dead. He's the prototype. He's the first expression of the humanity. It says in Romans chapter 8 that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters who'd be just like him. So he was the first expression of the new humanity, and because we're in Christ, our new humanity is all found in him. Now listen to how he describes a new humanity. The word life there, a life, a living and life-giving spirit, the word life there is the word zoe. That this last Adam, this new humanity, carries the Zoe, the life of God, is infused with, mingled with the life of God. It's a living spirit, not just a living soul. Souls, your mind, emotions, and will, without the spirit being alive, it's just that. Dogs are living souls. Animals have mind, emotions, and will. We were created for something bigger and better. So in Christ, we too have the life of God in us. We are becoming a living spirit. There's this vibrant life of God in us. But what I love what he says is that the last Adam, the last humanity, which you and I are a part of, are a living and life-giving spirit. That's crazy. And not only am I infused with, mingled with, invaded with the life of God, but it's so infectious, it's so powerful, I have the ability to give that away everywhere I go and to everyone I meet. At 2 o'clock in the morning, doing stuff at home that nobody else knows but you, it's never easy or fun, or in a public setting, when I'm praying for people, or when I'm talking to somebody in moments, I'm giving life, the life of God. That's who you are. The life of God, by its very nature, is giving, life-giving. And part of understanding who we are as new creations is understanding that, again, you're crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live, but Christ is living in you. You're a living spirit. You contain the living life of God. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Understand, it doesn't say the Holy Spirit's the sealer. It says the Holy Spirit is the seal. It's like you've been smacked. You've been sealed. I don't know if you have this ring. I seal documents with this ring. And so what I'll do, if somebody gets ordained or those kind of things, I'll take this seal. I can use this seal. It's because it's got my seal on there. And at the end of it, I write my name, then I melt wax, get it hot, and then I seal it, and and stamped. And what that means is that this is completed now. This is done. We're not just leading up to ordination. This person's ordained. It's done. It's completed. You can't undo it. And it's authentic. My seal says there's authenticity here. He's the real deal. This is somebody poured wax all over you. You just got smacked. The Holy Spirit, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit as the sign of authenticity. That you're the real deal. That you're a new creation. That you're a living and life-giving spirit. Think about that. You're a living and life-giving spirit. That's both our extraordinary identity, our amazing privilege, and our crazy ministry and responsibility. The home of the kids, the husband, the wife. I have, if I remember that I'm a living, I'm invaded with the life of God, sealed with the Holy Spirit. So I'm just walking to that. And if you're walking to that, you're just giving it away. I can give away the life of God to you because that's what I'm infused with. I carry that. It's my identity. I've been in God, Anne Payne says. I'm in Christ, He's in me. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. It changes everything. It changes everything about the way you see the news. It changes everything about what's going on in the world. It changes everything about who you are. It changes everything about the way you face everything in life. It changes everything about your relationships. It changes everything about your ministry and responsibility. You're a life-giving spirit. I don't give a hoot if you're a banker, postman, floor sweeper. You're a life-giving spirit. And planted it. Helping to colonize and making the whole world new. Let's just start off with a little